That's exactly right. You know, when I got laid off, I remember, because I'm a big believer in visualization. I'm a big believer in just like opening your mind and just really letting all of the possibilities that are out there kind of come to you. And I would imagine, what would it be like to be an entrepreneur? Like, that would be so cool. And I would imagine all these things that could happen. And then, you know, that steady paycheck would just pull me back. I don't think I ever would have taken the leap. And so that really was the universe's way of saying, well, golly, she's not going to listen to me. So we're going to go make it pretty much impossible for her not to listen. And that's when I really, you know, sat down and with my husband and we decided we were going to give it a go. And man, I love it. I absolutely love doing the work that I'm doing today.
Hey, my guest today is Carla Howard. She's a fantastic person. She's a long connection of mine. And we sort of hit it off when she was having some career challenges earlier, again, through networking and stuff that happens on LinkedIn. You know, I was highlighted by Jay Andrews, who was a mutual friend, and she reached out. And anyway, this has developed into like a 5 or 6 year relationship, but not that type of relationship, but where we talk a lot about the professional speaking business. And we have a great conversation. We have a great story of how she became a professional speaker and then wanting to share that knowledge with other speakers as well. So sit back, you know, grab some popcorn, and hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Doug Thompson Podcast. As always, I am your host, the Doug Thompson. And with me, I've got somebody that I've been connected with a long time. Our work career sort of paralleled and dissected in some type of geometrical thing back in the past, back in the Microsoft days and stuff. Carla Howard. Carla, how are you doing?
I'm so excited to be here with you, Doug. It's funny. We have known each other a long time now.
Yeah. And it's always great when I get to interview people that I've known for a bit and I've watched them transform and do different things, you know, part of their story. And you're broadcasting live from the She Shed tonight. So if you're looking at that, we're broadcasting live from the She Shed.
That's right. I always have to tell people I don't live in an unfinished house. This is a greenhouse that is now my office when we're up at the cabin. So, yeah.
That's excellent. So, and we sort of stumbled across each other. Again, we worked in the tech side of that, partner, these other things. But you started doing some speaking and stuff. And this was about the time I was doing some LinkedIn stuff. And we stumbled across each other. And at that time, you were just starting the speaking. Now you're teaching these speaking courses and stuff. So obviously, you've got some miles, some stage time under your belt. And sort of tell us how you got started in speaking, what the journey's been like.
Yeah, so I started in speaking by speaking on behalf of corporations. I would go to conferences and I would take the stage and talk about change management mostly in the breakout rooms. And I found that I really, really enjoyed it. And I had a way of connecting from the stage that people enjoyed listening to my message. And I remember very vividly, I'd been speaking on behalf of companies for probably 3 or 4 years. And I was sitting out in the audience for the keynote. And I remember thinking, I am every bit as good as that guy on the stage. And he's making thousands of dollars. And I'm doing this for free. What is wrong with me? So that's...
I totally get you on that. I am there too, because, you know, I've done a lot of my stuff from the stage, you know, from corporate things, getting in, jumping in and looking at people and say, right, what am I, you know, I love doing it for free. It gives me energy, but it'd really be nice to get paid for
this. That's right. And once you get into that professional speaking realm, you know, for a keynote, those things can book at $10, $15, $20, $25,000. Even if you don't have an established book or a presence, and you begin to grow your audience, you begin to grow your brand, and the upside of your business is fantastic. And it also helps build your personal brand as well for the other products and services in your business. And when I was working in corporate, I just thought, oh my gosh, like I am missing out on thousands and thousands of dollars. And so I really wanted to dip my toe in, but I was a bit of a reluctant entrepreneur. I didn't want to let go of my day job. I didn't want to let go of that steady stream of income. And so I started my paid speaking journey while I was in corporate, which is a little bit, I think, different. I carved out a niche in helping women dream bigger and reach further, and just really that women's support side, which was not part of my day job. So my day job at the time was change management. And I went through the whole, you know, the compliance, made sure that there was nothing against me doing that, created my own website, and began that journey of getting paid for speaking while I was actually still earning a steady paycheck in corporate.
Well, it's like you read my mind. That's sort of the way I've looked at it as well. You know, any business, and you know, for a large part, technology and stuff, I would leave that to the corporate side just to sort of draw that firewall, keeping the things technical, of course. But you know, the mindset, the other things that I do, you know, that's in which I love. So I look at it as sort of like building this runway for when I'm ready and I'm not having fun in corporate life anymore. Because right now I'm still having a great time. But you know, at some point in time, I'm not 21 anymore. I'm 21 three times
there
over.
There you go.
So you know, at some point in time, all things come to an end. And so I'm looking to build that business too. So, you know, that's another thing that I've sort of followed that journey and been watching you. Now, I don't speak to women. Well, I do speak to women. You're a woman, of course.
You're talking to me.
Yeah. Whoops. But that's not my core group of people. I love, and it's as good as you found a niche to go do that. How's that sort of expanding? Because I've had a few women mentors and coaches and stuff that sort of, Ruby Lee was one of them, and they sort of, for whatever reason, I really liked the vibe. I felt like a stalker at times because I'm in this room and I'm the only dude in there, and I'm like, whoops, what's going on? But, you know, you've got such a great spirit and sharing goes on in there. I think it's just a really wonderful thing.
Yeah, it really is. I just did a talk in California for the Women in Electronics Level Up Summit. And I was walking around that event just going, man, you know, these are my people. Super engaged, just really embracing each other, there to learn and lift each other up. And it was just such a beautiful experience. And I really do love speaking at women's conferences because of that, you know. So I was able to carve out a talk topic area that I could get away with doing while I was still in corporate. And then I got laid off. So it's not like I got brave and decided, oh, I'm just going to jump into the deep end. You know, I got laid off and I struggled. I told my husband, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like I started looking for other corporate jobs. I started, you know, thinking about what if I actually like made something out of this business that I started that could sustain our family.
I think we had that conversation too. I think we were talking about that.
We did.
Around that
I was
time.
Scared to death to do it. And my husband just looked at me and said, you're always telling everybody else to go chase their dreams. Like, this is your chance to do it. Go give it a try. You know, you won't know unless you give it a go.
Yeah.
So today when I'm speaking on stages, I still speak on the topics of helping women dream bigger and reach further. And now that I'm not in corporate anymore, I have a whole portfolio of change management, change leadership talks. So it's fun. I can apply to different workshops. I've got different talks that I can go out and deliver. So I today speak on both of those topics.
Well, I did a LinkedIn post today about, you know, signs that the universe gives us that for whatever reason, we ignore a lot of time, you know, it's behind us. We don't see it. We're comfortable doing what we're doing. It's calling. Then sometimes there's that forcing issue. This is, you know, and I said, this God or somebody swacking you on the head with some newspaper said, look, I told you to go do this. Now I'm going to make
exactly
you go
right.
Do it.
You know, when I got laid off, I remember, because I'm a big believer in visualization. I'm a big believer in just like opening your mind and just really letting all of the possibilities that are out there kind of come to you. And I would imagine, what would it be like to be an entrepreneur? Like, that would be so cool. And I would imagine all these things that could happen. And then, you know, that steady paycheck would just pull me back. I don't think I ever would have taken the leap. And so that really was the universe's way of saying, well, golly, she's not going to listen to me. So we're going to go make it pretty much impossible for her not to listen. And that's when I really, you know, sat down and with my husband and we decided we were going to give it a go. And man, I love it. I absolutely love doing the work that I'm doing today.
It gives you energy back when you do that. It's one of the things I like about talking to people on stage is I'm getting that there's this unseen energy that transfers between audience and speaker that you can't replicate. I mean, camera gets a little bit, but it's not, I mean, think of it as like you got 100 sunscreen on, you know what I'm saying? Not all the vibes are making it through, but you're there and I feed off the audience energy, you know, and you find those connections and, you know, it's just a wonderful experience. So how do you go? So, you know, we're emerging speaker, you know, right? So what's this first year look like? How are you coming up with your talks and things like that?
You know, I sat down and I made a list of all of the things that I've learned in my journey. And I think this is where speakers get kind of caught up in their own heads because they feel like, and I did this myself, one of the big mistakes I made when I first started doing professional speaking is I thought I had to really pack tons and tons of information and takeaways in my talk. And especially when I got up in the ranks of making like $10,000 a talk, I was like, oh my gosh, they're giving me $10,000. I got to put more stuff in here, right?
It's really paying your first live.
So it ended up just being this avalanche of information that people couldn't consume. Because even though it's my, you know, I'm pulling in from my journey, the things that I've learned, they just want to get a couple more steps down that journey. You know, you mentioned mindset. I just did for the Women in Electronics. I did a talk on building resiliency by quieting your inner critic. There's only so much people can consume on that. And so, you know, I sat down and I thought, what are all the big learnings that I've had in my life and my career? And then I bucketed them into different talks. So instead of trying to pack everything in one talk, I was like, okay, what would be consumable on the other end if this was new information for me? How would I do that? And I really sat down and created several different talks. The other thing that I did, and a lot of either emerging speakers or speakers who are professional speakers, but they struggle to get paid for the value they deliver. They maybe get asked to pay, you know, come in for free or a couple hundred dollars or whatever. Is that when you are packaging your talk, you can create a proposal and sell that talk before you ever write it. So in the beginning, I would, you know, create the PowerPoints and the takeaways and all the things, and then go out and try to market that talk to conferences and events. And what I learned is I just need to know what my core subject matter is. Then I can craft a proposal, mm-hmm. have the conversation. I'll build that content later. So that was a couple of really key learnings that I had early on.
So it's like you're creating an abstract, you know, so here's sort of the abstract for what I'm going to talk about. And then you go build it. And you, if you're like me, because I do a very similar type thing. If you're wanting a slide deck or something from me for a speech, don't think you're going to get it till the day before, because I'm constantly like tweaking and adding a little bit more to it as I go on, because I like to personalize it. And I like to, you know, make it learn more about the company or something topical. And so I'm constantly sort of tweaking it that way. So, because I know the core material, right? But there's sometimes you can add a little extra flavor and stuff. But that's a great tip. Don't work from the other way around. Work from, hey, here's what I can deliver. And then you work on the details
that's
on the
right.
other end of it.
And, you know, I always customize my talks too, Doug. And one of the things that I've learned is very, very small changes make a difference in how we connect with the audience. So I was doing a talk for American Express and it was on change management. And I was talking to the event organizer and we were going through the content. I was talking about, you know, what I'm going to deliver, what my key points are. And she said, oh, you know, we don't call them project managers here. We call them program managers. And I said, thank you, because I will change that. And just those small little tweaks make them, they know I'm talking to them now. It's not just some you know,
yeah,
common. I do this all the time. You're just getting more of the same kind of a talk. So those small tweaks and those customizations make a huge mm-hmm. difference to your audience.
Yeah, it's you're using That's their right. language, right? So even if when I was talking technology to people, you know, you selling sort of this tech, I don't sell the technology. I let them tell me what the business problems they have. And then I sort of go, okay, because basically it's the same stuff. Like if when I was at Microsoft, we sold the same product, but depending on which vertical you're in, the message was slightly different. Right. So, and because they all, everybody needed to patch, everybody needed to do these other things. But in using words that they use, like I was in education space for a while, I'll use things that, you know, that the education, and that way they don't have to go through all the hurdles of translate. Does that really work for me? Whatever. If I use that language, then they can, you know, they're here to absorb. They're not passive, but they don't want to put a lot of extra work into sort of getting your message. And I think that's where, when you talked about overloading them with 8,000 slides, that, you know, it was just too
exactly.
much. Right.
Exactly. And it's kinder to the audience when it's consumable. They have to be able to consume it, have some quiet, you know, few pauses, some quiet space so that they can really take that talk and go do something different with it. You know, I always, when I talk to my event organizers, there's two things I always tell them. One is, I'll be the easiest speaker you've ever worked with. I will be there for you. I will, you will get my content by the due date. You're never going to have to remind me of anything, and I will take care of your audience. You're going to look good when I get off that stage. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And then, you know, the other thing is, I deeply believe this, that if the audience doesn't leave my talk and have something that they can do that's going to transform their lives, either in a personal or a professional way, I haven't done my job for them. Because if they leave and they say, oh, that was a great talk, she was motivational, she was inspirational, it was lovely, and then they leave the room and they don't do anything different, I didn't impact their lives in mm-hmm. any way. So I always make sure that my talks leave them with not only the information, but the content they need so that they can go back to it later and create, even if it's a small transformation, it doesn't matter. Something transformational is going to happen to them.
Yeah. Everything always starts with that first step to go on and do that. And you mentioned packing so much stuff in, and you mentioned something about silence or takeaway. That's the key. If you're crafting a good talk, you need to take, and I found, and I'm reading, that it's a journey where you're accelerating, you're getting these other things, and you let them digest it a little bit. You come off of it, and you go back, because nobody can redline the whole time. This is not a sprint, right? So you have to sort of, when you're crafting a really impactful talk, again, it's a little bits at a time. Give the audience a chance to breathe, as you said earlier, and then we'll go on, you know, digest, and then we'll go on from the other one.
That's right. You know, the other thing that I like to do is when I'm filling out calls for speakers, they're all different. Many of them will ask, what's your speaking style? And I always say it's conversational. I want to talk with my participants, you know, and I'll ask them some questions that mm-hmm. they can raise their hand on. And then we'll look around the room and see what the response is. When we have the technology where I can flash up a question and then they can vote on it, I love that. Or when you can do the Wordles and they can kind of see the answers all forming in front of them, I love that. The other thing that I'll do, and I'm very careful about this because I do a lot of audience participation while they raise their hands. And I always say, I am going to ask someone to share on this next one. So if you raise your hand, I might pick you, because I never want to throw somebody off or make them uncomfortable. But I always include some kind of sharing from the audience. I will tell you that can be tricky, though, because you've got mm-hmm. a timeline, you've got a message to deliver. And if you get someone that wants to take you way off track, that's a little dicey for a newer speaker. So, you know, there's some ways that you can do it effectively, but I it's really important to me that my audience feels engaged and that we are having a conversation together.
Yeah. One of the things that I've done in the past, because when I was back again, sometimes I was doing demos, but there are times I'd get somebody from the audience to come up and run the demo while I'm talking. And so I would spend time an hour, 30 minutes before the talk, mingling with the people outside, talking to them and all that. and try to find that right personality that would fit, like you were talking about, that you can make them look good, you can have some fun, you know, and it's not risky, because some people just, they panic and you don't want them to look bad. And so that's another tip to go, is do a little smooching before the event and see if you can find a victim. I mean, a volunteer.
You know, the other thing that's cool about doing that, and I do that too, I'll, you know, shake hands with people when they're coming in, introduce myself and say, thank you so much for coming, I'm your speaker today. Because it just humanizes everybody and it brings your nerves down a little bit, because you're like, oh, there's Joe. I talked to Joe when he was coming in. Oh, there's Sally. I met Sally at dinner the other night, right? So you begin to feel like I'm just in the company of friends here, and we're going to have a great conversation.
Yeah,
that is a great way, especially for newer speakers that are a little bit nervous about taking the stage, to just kind of lean into the audience by just meeting them as they're walking in the door.
Yeah, it's hard to be afraid of somebody that's know their name. That's a lot easier when you get a little bit of story about
that's
them,
right.
Makes it easier. So you're taking this to the next level, because, you know, those of us just starting out, there's pitfalls, as you mentioned, that you know, you fell into, and you're trying to help people sort of avoid those. So tell us a little bit about that.
So you mentioned the Get Paid from the Stage program. My entire Get Paid from the Stage program is about really all the mistakes I made when I first started entering the professional speaking world. I always tell the people that go through the program, you're going to very quickly see, like, I was beating my head against the wall to try to get paid. I made so many mistakes in the process. I literally left probably in the first 5 years easily $100,000 worth of money on the table, and other benefits that I could have had, like pictures, videos. I didn't even ask for that stuff when I was speaking on stage, right?
Yeah.
So the whole entire program is really all about, these are the things that I didn't do in the beginning, and I had to learn the really, really hard way, that this is how we get paid. This is what we should charge. This is the content I need to have ready, and here's why. I had a very good friend of mine, Jen Smollett. She's a business coach, and I was doing some coaching with her, and she said, Carla, I want to be able to book professional speaking engagements. If you would put a program together to show people how you did this, I would take it, and other people would take it. And I'm like, I don't know if they would. She goes, well, how many years of headache are you going to save them? I said, probably 5 to 8. And she's like, yeah, you need to put that program together.
Yeah.
So I did. And the people that have gone through it, I've just loved it, because it really does fast path you through. You know, talk about mistakes. My first really highly paid potential gig, which was a lot of money for me at the time, was for a global summit of travel executives. And it was in New York City. And I knew I had underpriced it when I talked to the event organizer. And she said, how much do you charge? And I took a deep breath and I said, $5,000. And I heard this silence. She goes, yeah, that's in our budget. And I'm like, dang it. Like, what's right on the edge? So I didn't book it though. I was really sure I would. She loved me. She loved my content. She really, really wanted to bring me in. And I didn't get the gig. So I reached out and said, I'd love to learn what, you know, what caused me to not book the engagement. Right. And we got on a phone call and she said, Carla, I would have booked you all day long. I couldn't do it because you didn't have a speaker's reel. And I said, okay, well, thank you so much. You know, I'm going to start working on that this week. And she goes, okay, great. So we get off the phone and I'm Googling, what is a speaker's reel? I didn't have any clue. I'm like, I need it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So it's things along the way that I didn't have, I didn't know I needed. And we could talk about my mistakes. You'd have to have a 2-hour podcast at least, but we could talk more.
Well, you know, I can appreciate learning from other people. I always try to do that, because I've made this my share of those things as well going along. I talk to people just starting out on a podcast and, okay, this is going to be a several day event that we're talking, going through all the, because I'm still making them. And that's the great thing about it, is you're making mistakes when you're growing, you're trying something new, but there's no rule that says you have to suffer everything. If I can This is like Candyland. If I can take the slide and jump up, hit a few spots, it's all
that's
for
right.
it.
That's right. That's right. And you know, it, we learn together. It's funny because every cohort is different. You know, it's a 6-week program and, you know, the speakers will ask different questions. We have different conversations. I create different bonuses because if they ask me for something that I don't have, a lot of times I'll create it. And then anybody else that's gone through the program, I send out a little communication that says, okay, we got a new bonus, guys. I created this. So here you go. Yeah. And so it does, it continues to grow as we uncover together the things that people need that I may not have thought of.
Well, Carla, this sounds like a one. So how do people get a hold of you? How do they think about signing up for that course and all that good stuff there? And we'll put things in the show note too, but just go ahead and
yeah, a couple of things. So I am very active on LinkedIn. Carla Howard, you can find me there. If you're interested in the program, you can go to getpaidfromthestage.com. That's the easiest place to land there. And then I do a lot of work with kind and ambitious women. So I do have an Instagram account. It's called Rise Sisters. And you can direct message me. I know you're going to pop my email in the mm-hmm. show notes as well, or you can direct message me on LinkedIn. I'm super responsive there. And just, you know, anything I can do to help people, I love to help them get on that journey and, you know, learn how they can get paid from the stage too.
Well, Carla, thanks for spending some time. Thank you for what you're doing. And reach out to Carla. She's really a wonderful person. I don't say that about everybody, but I've known her for a while. And, you know, she could be my sister with sort of the parallel things we've got going on. Don't hold that against her. So Carla, thanks for joining us from the She Shed. And we hope people
reach out
to you.
Thank you so much, Doug.
There you have it. Another episode of the Doug Thompson Podcast in the can. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Carla. I hope you got some tips on how to be a better speaker. You know, how to avoid losing thousands of dollars because you don't have a speaker reel. And just some of the nuts and bolts of that. And go out, check her out. You know, there's notes, show notes. Go check those out. But also getpaidfromthestage.com is a great place to go. Reach out to her on LinkedIn. You won't regret it. She's a great individual. And, you know, if you like the episode, please give us a 5-star rating. You know, Carla would appreciate it, but I'd appreciate it too. Really help spread the message. You know, leave a comment what you liked about it. You know, tell us the stories that you liked about it. And if you got a great guest, you know, let me know. Put it down, comment below about that too. But more than anything else, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you listening and continuing to support the podcast because it helps get messages from great people like Carl out. Have a great weekend and we'll see you soon.